Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
I quite like the number of apps that are already available.
Tech Guide.
The iPad 2 still beats just about everything on the market. The new iPad has just kicked away even further.
Tech Guide.
I quite enjoyed using it. Great design. The operating system worked hand in hand with the hardware as well.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is obviously a hot-selling device.
Tech Guide.
You know, we want them to be light. We want them to be portable. And this one's very fast with i7 and i5 processors.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Hello and welcome to the 50th episode of the Tech Guide Podcast. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. My name is Stephen Fenwick and I'm the editor of techguide.com.au. This is a special episode. Apart from us celebrating 50 episodes, it's also been a few hours since Apple concluded its keynote at the Worldwide Developers Conference, where several announcements were made. We'll take you through each of them in this episode. Also on this week's show, we'll run our eye over Netgear's new push-to-TV device, the head-turning iDECT Eclipse cordless digital phone, and we'll talk about Bose's latest audio products. And we'll wrap it all up with the Tech Guide Help Desk. And it's all brought to you by our proud sponsors, Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. Lots to get through right here on Tech Guide. Well, the Worldwide Developers Conference has only been over for a few hours, and Apple made several announcements. A lot of them we anticipated, a couple of surprises, but the main focus, apart from iOS 7, that was the main focus. They also unveiled OS 10 Mavericks, which is the new Mac operating system, as well as a couple of new hardware announcements, the new MacBook Air and a Mac Pro. But in terms of iOS 7, that was the real star of the show at Worldwide Developers Conference in San Francisco. And as promised, it delivered quite a radical redesign. Now we've been talking about this for some time, and this is the first operating system that was put in the hands of Jony Ive, who's normally in charge of hardware design. He was given the task of human interface, so redesigning the interface to match the hardware even better. And the result is a radically changed system. Now, iOS 7 has done away with the felt and the paper and the wood look on some of the apps and the textures, and it was also has flattened out a lot of the operating system. So there's no 3D bubbles, and it's a lot sleeker and cleaner, I think is a great way to describe it. But what one thing apart from the look and feel of iOS 7 are the number of new features that have been introduced, and there are several. Now, apart from the look and feel, these new features have really make use of the screen space. So a lot of features and buttons sort of recede away, like in the browser, for example. So you're making full use of the screen. One of the new features is a feature called Control Center. So you get complete access to all your settings, just a swipe up from the bottom of the screen, and you can get access to all of your settings, whether it's Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, turning on your flashlight, and seeing your latest calendar entries and things like that. Also updated, the Notification Center, so you can get a top-down view of all your updates, interactions, calendar appointments. You can see missed calls, messages, and even the latest weather conditions. Also improved, multitasking. Now, that's one thing that many of us are using our smartphones. We need that in our smartphones because we're using several apps at once, and getting from one app to the other can be a bit of a chore, including on the iPhone. Well, that's been really improved with iOS 7. A lot of the functions have now been relegated to the background, so it's easier to switch between apps. You even get larger previews of the apps that are running, and you can easily swipe left and right to access the app that you want to return to. Another new feature is called AirDrop. This is a great way to share content among other iPhone users. And this feature is also on Mac OS X on Mountain Lion, as a matter of fact. And what you can do, once you activate AirDrop, it can detect other iPhone 5 users, other iPhone iOS 7 users around you, and you can choose whether you want to be seen or not. But it's handy if you want to exchange document or photo or things like that. the people around you can become visible, and then you can choose to the different people that you want to send the file to, whether it's 1, 2, 3, or up to 5. You can now choose those people in your AirDrop menu and directly send the file. And it's done with a peer-to-peer Wi-Fi connection. So no need to sort of do any sync or any kind of setup. It just happens. And the person then it can accept the file, and then it's on their device. Moving along, Safari's had a bit of a reboot as well. It's had, performance-wise, it's been improved significantly. But even when you're browsing on Safari, as I mentioned at the top of this segment, the buttons and the navigation bars kind of move out the way, and you take advantage of every centimetre of the screen. There's also a new way to view the tabs, so all the recent pages you've visited are clearly visible. And there's also a new search field now where it not only, if you're typing in a search in Safari, not only will it look for matching websites, but it'll also look through your existing bookmarks, your history, and also links shared by some of your friends on social networks, which is a great way to discover new sites. Another pretty significant announcement is iTunes Radio. This was rumored to be released, and Apple have announced a service where you can actually listen to selections of music through various iTunes stations. And these are based on your music tastes and listening habits. And what happens, the music is served through, and you can either give a thumbs up or thumbs down to tailor the flow of music to suit your taste. So if you like a certain song, you give that an approval, and more of that type of music will come through. You don't like a certain song, you give it a thumbs down, and less of that type of song will come through. Now, iTunes Radio will only be available initially in the US. It'll be a free service, though, supported by ads. But iTunes Match customers, and that's the customers who've paid $34.95 to match their iTunes collection on all their devices, so they've got a copy of it in the cloud and can be matched everywhere, those customers can have the service ad-free. Another really interesting improvement is Siri. Now, Siri is the voice control digital assistant that's on the iPhone, and it is now being given a male and a female voice. So not only does it look different, it also sounds different. But it's also been given added functionality. So you can actually ask it to, say, turn on your Bluetooth, adjust your screen brightness, look up something on Twitter. So it's given much more functionality rather than just being asking it questions and finding information. It can actually perform functions for you now as well. Those of you who've ever lost your iPhone, misplaced your iPhone, you know what that feels like. Well, Apple's enhanced the Find My iPhone feature even further. One great new feature of this is the fact that if you lose your phone and if someone happens to pick it up and even erase the phone, that phone cannot be used again until your original Apple ID and password are entered. So that's hopefully a deterrent for thieves who think, well, I'm going to take this iPhone, erase it, use it as my own. Well, not to be. Now with the new Find My iPhone, it requires your Apple ID. Even if the person's erased the iPhone, you still need your Apple ID and password to reactivate the phone. I think that's a great feature. In-car usage is another thing that they're looking at and has been made available through iOS 7. Car manufacturers are already looking at ways of integrating iOS in the car, so it'll actually replicate the iPhone screen or a version of the iPhone screen on the in-car dash display, so that you want to make calls, use maps, use the iTunes radio or other services, other apps, then it can do so in the car safely and conveniently. Now, car companies including Mercedes-Benz, Honda, Hyundai, Nissan and Ferrari will begin integrating iOS in their cars from 2014. So an exciting development there, iOS 7. I've posted a lot of pictures of the new interface on techguide.com.au. You can read all about that there. You can see what the new interface looks like. And it'll be available to download in the US fall, which is around September, October here in Australia. You're listening to Tech Guide.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenech.
Well, moving on to the other announcement at the Worldwide Developers Conference, and that is the desktop operating system for the Mac. That's the OS X Mavericks. Now, what Apple have done, they've totally done away with the feline names for their operating systems. We've had Leopard and Tiger and Jaguar and Lion and Mountain Lion. Well, they've run out of names. So what they've done, they've actually called this new system Mavericks. After a beach break off California, so it's given it a bit of a local flavor there, but the improvements there are quite impressive. Now, it hasn't got too much of a new look. The look of it looks very much like Mountain Lion, but there are some pretty cool new features that they've introduced. First of all, first one is Finder tabs. Now, you know, on a Mac, when you click the Finder, all these different windows open up, and sometimes you can have three or four different windows and your desktop looks a mess. Well, now with Finder tabs, you can now unify them in one window and just tab between the different Finder windows. So I think that's a cool new feature, helped you declutter your desktop. Another new feature is tags. Now, when you're saving a document, traditionally you just give it a name and a location. Well, now there's a third option where you can add a tag. So you might want to write important or urgent or latest, whatever word you want to describe. You can even give it a color code. So that way it just makes it even easier to locate certain documents and even some apps for that matter too. So if you want to locate stuff, it does happen a lot quicker with OS X Mavericks. Mavericks tags. Multiple displays are now supported even easier now on Mavericks. So you can have, if you're running two monitors, even three monitors, each monitor will now have their own menu bar. You can even have a dock on each of those displays as well. And if you've got AirPlay and an Apple TV, you've got Apple TV and an AirPlay connected to a high-definition television, you can even use your HD TV as a monitor as well, even if you have two or three others connected alongside. So a handy way, if you're one of these people who needs a lot of screen real estate, you need multiple screens, then it's even easier to do that on Mavericks. Also included on Mavericks too will be maps. So you can look up things, say, for example, on your desktop or on your laptop, and then send it to your iPhone when you're ready to go. Another cool new feature is iCloud Keychain. Now, how hard is it to remember all your different passwords for all your different websites? It is very difficult. With iCloud Keychain, it can remember all of your online passwords in the cloud, in iCloud. So rather than you having to worry about which one is which, it will remember it for you securely and safely, I should add. And it can even come up with new passwords if you're joining a new site or some service and you need a new password. It can generate that password for you, a very secure password, complete with 256-bit encryption so that there's no way anyone's going to crack your passwords. Another handy feature. Safari's also had a bit of an upgrade as well. So things like that, improved tabbed browsing, as we saw with iOS 7. There's also a new sidebar area. So the little area on the left, the browser opens up to access your frequently viewed sites and even sites, the shared links from your social networks. Other inclusions, iBooks. So you can read your books on your Mac. And if you decide to resume that book on an iPhone or an iPad, it'll remember where you are because it's all stored up in iCloud. And last of all, notifications. They've streamlined the notification service on the Mac with OS X Mavericks so that you can now do things like reply to messages, delete emails, respond to calls without actually leaving the app that you're currently using. So the task at hand, you're not going to be distracted. You can just dismiss those other things, answer it or ignore it if you want to, but all without you having to stop what you're doing. OS X Mavericks, they didn't give a date when it was going to ship, but I predicted probably around the same time as iOS 7, around maybe September, October perhaps, maybe early, hopefully early. It could be as early as August. So keep an eye out for that. If you want to read all about that, you can do so at techguide.com.au. Well, it wasn't just all software that they announced at the Worldwide Developers Conference. There actually were some new hardware announcements. And the two main products they announced was the MacBook Air, an update to the MacBook Air, and an all-new Mac Pro. Starting with the MacBook Air, available again in 11-inch and 13-inch models. And they've had a refresh with the new Intel 4th generation core processor, so not only getting faster speeds, but also extended battery life. Speed up by 45%. Battery life on the 13-inch can be up to 12 hours, which is very impressive. The 11-inch can run up to about 9 hours on a single battery charge. The MacBook Air also now supports 802.11ac, which is the latest Wi-Fi standard, which is up to 3 times faster than 802.11n. So that's exciting news as well. So it's speed all around there. The new MacBook Air starts at $1,099 for the 11-inch base model, and the 13-inch starts at $1,249, and they're available from today, whether you go into a store or order them online. Now, the Mac Pro. Now, this is a device, a product that many people have been crying out for some time. There's been quite a few years, as a matter of fact, since there's been a significant Mac Pro upgrade. So those high-end users out there have reason to rejoice. The new Mac Pro looks radically different, radically redesigned. It's got a cylindrical shape. I've described it as looking like a jet engine on my story on Tech Guide. It is an eighth of the volume of the previous Mac Pro. It's only 25.15 centimeters tall, but packed to the gills with the latest technology like next generation Intel Xeon E5 processors. It's got two AMD Fire Pro workstation class GPUs so that it's 2.5 times faster than the previous Mac Pro. Also on board, there's flash storage, which is up to 10 times faster than your regular hard drives. But the Mac Pro obviously aimed at really high-end users. They've been crying out for this, as I said. And it is powerful enough for you to edit full resolution 4K video while in the background rendering effects or doing other tasks. So that's good news. Connectivity, there's plenty of it, including 6 Thunderbolt 2 ports to deliver up to 20 gigabits per second of bandwidth. Now, the previous Thunderbolt delivered 10 gigabits of bandwidth, of throughput. 20 gigabits now it's been taken up to for the Mac Pro. Now, they haven't given a date for the Mac Pro's release, but it will be later this year, definitely in 2013. MacBook Air, as I mentioned, has been is available from today. And they have also done some other little product updates. The Time Capsule and the AirPort Express have been updated to suit the 802.11ac standard, and there are also available from today. So if you want to read more about all those products, head over to techguide.com.au.
Keeping you updated and educated, this is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Well, the Tech Guide podcast is proudly brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. Do you want better Wi-Fi coverage around your home? We've all experienced those annoying Wi-Fi dead spots. And these days, with the amount of mobile devices such as tablets and smartphones connecting to the network, a solid Wi-Fi connection is more important than ever. Netgear has a range of Wi-Fi extenders that will boost your existing wireless signal and keep you connected around the home. They will work with your current wireless equipment, and CD-less install makes setup easy on mobile devices. Netgear has a Wi-Fi extender to suit any size household, from the compact wall plug Wi-Fi booster for mobile up to the 4-port dual band Wi-Fi range extender, which is perfect for streaming HD video content and maximizing your online home theater experience. So if you want to boost your Wi-Fi coverage and stay connected in every corner of your home, check out Netgear's Wi-Fi range extenders at netgear.com.au/boost my Wi-Fi.
Tech Guide now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fenwick.
Well, our first review is actually a Netgear product, a brand new product that was announced earlier this year. It was actually announced at the Consumer Electronics Show, but it's finally hitting Australian shelves now. The product I'm talking about is the PTV 3000, which is a push to TV wireless display adapter. So what this means, this little product that can connect to your wireless network and then also connect to your smart TV can mirror your device's screen on your television, your smartphone, your tablet, even your laptop. They have to be compatible with this system. They need to be WiDi compatible. That's an Intel standard that's been created. The latest smartphones, such as the Galaxy S4, the Galaxy S3, the Optimus G, HTC One, several of the latest laptops and tablets are all compatible with this system. So if you've bought a recent device, chances are likely that you will be able to use that with the PTV 3000 to mirror your screen on your device on your television. Now, these are a very handy thing to have because not only all the content that we have now, our photos, our videos, our music, a lot of them reside on our mobile devices. So being able to, say, for example, show off your latest photos from your holiday easily and quickly on your TV, you may have friends over, it's very easily done with a product like the Netgear's PTV 3000. Now, this device is quite small. It's smaller than a deck of cards. And as I said, it connects to your wireless network. So as long as your device is on the same network as this product, which then is connected to the TV, then you can mirror whatever is on your screen on your televisions, whether it's photos, so you can still navigate your photos, scroll your images, you can play games, you can have full screen apps, you can play videos, you can even listen to music, because the best screen in the house would be the TV in our lounge room, and more often than not, the speakers and the sound system offers pretty good performance as well. So rather than hearing your music on your device, you can push it to your sound system and hear it in even better quality. You may even want to present a presentation at a meeting or show it through either a TV or a projector. Rather than you having to fiddle around with the cables, this push-to-TV device can get that up on your screen quickly and easily. And even, as I mentioned, the apps. So imagine being able to play apps full screen. Even though they're being played in your hand, you can then display them on your television, would provide hours of enjoyment for people, maybe not for you to be playing it, for people to watch you play. I often enjoy people watching them play their games. If you can put that up on a screen, it makes it even more enjoyable. I think a lot of uses for this product, even web browsing. There's a picture on my story on Tech Guide. I've actually got the Tech Guide website up on my smartphone, and that is reflected then on the screen. So rather than you having to worry about having a smart TV and using the smart TV's browser, you can use your own browser and have that up full screen on your television. So, and very easy to navigate. I find that very fiddly. Some of the smart TV browsers are very fiddly to navigate, even with their magic remotes and all their different kinds of remote controls. Nothing is easier than browsing it on your smartphone. And if you can reflect that on your big screen, then that just makes the job even easier and more interesting. The Netgear PTV 3000. And that's a push-to-TV wireless adapter. It's available now, and I've got a full review at techguide.com.au. Well, we've reviewed a very interesting home cordless digital phone. Now, these aren't the sexiest products in the world, let's face it. They're the pretty traditional design, handset and an answering machine, and they all pretty much look the same, boring colors and nothing too exciting. Well, a company called Mint Technologies has come up with a brand new product that's kind of thrown the rule book out the window and come up with a really eye-catching, head-turning design. It's the iDECT Eclipse 8035. Now, this is a real design standout for me. I've written about it on Tech Guide, and basically the device is a circle. It's a ring that can rest on your tabletop. So the answering machine and the handset are all built into this circular base station. The handset itself actually forms part of that circle. So when you lift off the handset, you're actually taking a segment of the circle design with you. And it's all there in your hand. And the shape of it, because it's a curve, the shape of it is really comfortable because the speaker and the microphone are positioned perfectly because of that curvature. So the Eclipse 8035 has an answering machine as well. There's even a magnet on the handset. So when you finish your call and you're replacing the handset, it actually guides the handset back into the right spot so that you can complete the circle, so to speak. But Apart from it having a really cool-looking design, it's also using the latest technology, including DECT, which is short for Digital Enhanced Cordless Telecommunications. So very clear, hardly any crackles, no crackles at all, as a matter of fact, on your calls. Also, is a very, very good speakerphone as well. There's also the built-in answering machine, as I mentioned, that can record up to 30 minutes of messages, and you can even access them remotely. Say you want to check your messages from overseas or from the office or whatever, you can do that with a secure PIN number. You can store 200 names and numbers in the address book, and even set different ringtones. But at the end of the day, this is a very good looking device. For rather than having that boring old handset on your table or on your desk or in the end table, wherever you want to position it, this is quite a product. And people are going to ask you, what is that? And then when you tell them it's a phone, they'll be fascinated. The Eclipse is available in several modes. There's a triple pack, which is $349.95, a twin pack, $229.95, and the single is $149.95. And if you do buy, say, the single and want to add extra handsets later, you can do that, $199.95 each. The iDECT Eclipse from Mint Technologies is available now. You can choose three colors, red, black, and silver. You can purchase them from JB Hi-Fi, The Good Guys, Harvey Norman, and other independent retailers. So, check it out. If you want to, I've taken several photos of the iDECT actually for my review on Tech Guide. That is, so just to explain what the product looks like and also shows the handset on its own and how it fits back on the base station. Do yourself a favor and check it out. You won't look at home phones the same again. Well, Bose have made some more announcements, some new products they unveiled last week. They're not due in store till one of them is not due till September. I think the next one is due in July. But let's go through them. There's two products. One of them is the Bose Quiet Comfort 20 noise cancelling in-ear headphones. The other product is a mini Bluetooth speaker. But let's start off with the QC20. Now, Bose are very well known for their noise cancelling headphones. They've got the QC3s, the QC15s, excellent quality devices, not only great sound quality, but the amount of noise they cut out is phenomenal. Many, many seasoned travelers include this, one of the first things they pack in their bags when they travel. It is especially important to use this on a flight so you're not hearing the engine noise, you can actually hear the movie you're watching. Well, they've taken that technology and shrunk it down into an in-ear headphone. The QC20 has got the two microphones in each ear cup. So in each of the earpieces, there's a microphone on the outside and a microphone on the inside. And what it does, the microphone on the outside takes a reading, the microphone on the inside takes another reading, and it's relayed back to the little control module on the cord of the QC20s and then generates the reverse noise waveform to cancel out that noise. Basically the same way it works on the headphones, but this time using the in-ear module. So it takes that technology. It's also got special earpieces and ear tips, so that it fits very well into your ears, kind of forms a bit of a seal in your ear so that it contributes to the noise cancellation. But there is also a way to hear what's going on around you, because these cancel out noise so well. It's person standing next to you talking to you, you won't hear them. And there's other issues of this. If you say out walking, you might not hear traffic, you might not hear things around you. But what these include is an aware mode. So on the Y joint, there's a button that you can press so that it can continue the music playback, but you can hear then the outside world. So if you want to use these on a run, for example, you can hear traffic, hear cars, so you're not totally cut off from the outside world, which I think is a very important safety feature there. The QC20s, they've got an inline remote control as well and a microphone, so you can use them with a smartphone. There are two versions. There's the QC20, which works with Android, Windows, and BlackBerry phones. There's also a QC20i, which is available especially for use with iPhone, iPad, and iPod models. They're not out till early September. They're going to be priced at $399, and it comes with a couple of different ear tips, comes with a carry case, a USB charging cord, because it does need power, just like the headphones, because to power that ability to cancel out the noise, because they're active noise cancellation, they do need a charge. So the module that's on the cord, it's a rectangular shape that is on the cord. There's a picture on Tech Guide if you want to have a look at it. That is, you need to power that up to actually make the noise cancellation actually work. Moving on to the next product they've announced, the Bose SoundLink Mini Speaker. Now, these are tiny Bluetooth speakers. Right? It's only 18 centimeters long, made from anodized aluminium, and it is a. It's got two passive radiators, so using Bose's traditional custom design transducers and the amount of air that it can push through this small speaker system really belies the fact that it's only small. The sound you hear coming out of this thing, you're going to be surprised. Whoa, this is a big sound. And you'll think, what, is that coming out just from that tiny little speaker? That's what Bose do. They use their technology. They can generate a lot of air movement within their speakers using their wave channel technology, and this is no exception. It's got Bluetooth on board, so it's got A2DP on board, the SoundLink, so you can easily pair it to a mobile. I think it can store up to 6 Bluetooth devices, so if it's used by several people, it will remember up to 6 different devices that it's been paired to, so as soon as you're within range, Bluetooth on, it'll just connect. There's no need to continually pair them all the time. You only need to pair once, and it will remember. The Bose SoundLink Mini Speaker will go on sale July the 1st, and it'll be priced at $249, which is reasonable value. There's a lot of these speakers on the market, but none of them bearing the Bose name. Bose have got quite a heritage in the audio quality stakes there. I'm a big fan of Bose, as you can probably hear, only because their products are so good. I've reviewed several of them. I'm a big fan of their noise-canceling headphones. And we'll be definitely giving the in-ear headphones a try as well. So two new products from Bose. If you want to find out more about those, you can head to techguide.com.au.
Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
The Tech Guide Help Desk today is about the digital switchover. Now, maybe there may be some listeners out there who are not aware that it's actually less than 6 months before analog TV is switched off forever. Now, we've been hearing about this for years that, December 2013, it seems so long ago. Well, it's actually less than 6 months away now. So if you have not either done one of the following things: bought a flat screen TV with a built-in digital tuner, or attached a digital set-top box to your existing TV, then you're going to be left in the dark. If you've done one of those things, you're digital ready. If you haven't, then you've got 6 months to go buy your digital set-top box or buy a flat-screen TV for you to continue to watch your programs. Analog TV will be switched off December the 3rd in Sydney, December the 10th in Melbourne, and that will be some of the last territories switched off. There's been over 8.7 million households across Australia that will be watching digital once Melbourne is switched off December 10th. So that's nearly the whole country watching digital TV. There's 17 free-to-air digital channels. So there's it's not just your traditional 4, 7, 9, 10, 2. Now there's SBS and all digital versions of each of these channels as well. So you can watch Channel 9 has 3 or 4 channels. So there's different programming on each of them. So if you are... And you may even also qualify for government assistance if you need a hand getting a set-top box. If you can check your eligibility, and if you are eligible, then a trained installer will come to your home, install a set-top box, show you how to use it, and make sure you're not left in the dark when the big switch is flicked at the end of the year. If you want to find out more information, you can visit the special website they've set up, www.digitalready.gov.au. I've created a link directly to it from my story on Tech Guide, Stephen Conroy, talking about how there's only 6 months of analog TV signals left, and wanting to ensure everyone is ready for that switchover, because once it's off analog, it's going to be off forever. We're not going to go back there. We're digital into the future. You're listening to Tech Guide. And that brings Tech Guide episode 50 to a close. We hope you enjoyed it. And of course, you can read about everything that you've heard in this episode on our website, techguide.com.au. You can get in touch with us by email at info@techguide.com.au and also send us your help desk questions to the Tech Guide forum. Very popular part of Tech Guide. Readers can send in their questions and myself and my other readers can help jump in there and provide some answers. Big thank you to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to your company next week. So in the meantime, stay safe and stay connected.